it is impossible to stay away from Brexit. But where are we at this present moment in time? We certainly know the dilemma the Prime Minister's in. We know the dilemma the Europeans are in. We know the dilemma we're in. But what about the DUP? Where do they stand at this moment in time? Let me speak to one of their spokespeople, Gregory Campbell, MP. Gregory Campbell, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
What are you hoping for at this moment in time? Are you prepared to back Theresa May just this time to get her over the line?
Well, I think developments in the past 24 hours have been significant. I know people are viewing them in different ways, but it seems to me anyway that the political heads in the EU are now starting to realise the implications of a no-deal Brexit for them. And that's the crucial term, the last two words there, for them. So if, as a result of that, they are now very keen to avoid a no-deal Brexit, then we could have business to do. Unfortunately, up to now, and it's nobody's fault other than Theresa May. You know, she has not negotiated. She has not hardballed. She has just been outfoxed and outmaneuvered at every turn. And hopefully the past 24 hours are the first sign that maybe at long last, whether by accident or design, she's starting to see that you can get something out of the EU when you stand up to them, but not when you cave in to them.
So what can you get out of the EU? I would have been listening probably to the same press conference that you would have been listening to last night. Of course, you've got a much greater insight. You're part of the DUP as to what's going on. So give us some of the insight. The DUP, like everyone else, has been told that the negotiating is over. How are you going to get something extra at this last minute?
Yeah, well, that's right. They have indicated that repeatedly over a period of weeks and months. And now, when we're at virtually the 11th hour, for whatever reason, Angela Merkel and Macron and the other political heads have decided that they want to pause the clock. Now, people have to ask themselves, why have they done that? I mean, they've been reasonably upfront in saying they want to avoid a no deal. Everybody wants to avoid a no deal. Well, then the way you avoid it is you start to talk Turkey. What do you need to do? Now, we need them to do what is required to ensure that the backstop does not become operational to adversely affect Northern Ireland as well as the whole of the UK. They have previously said they're not going to reopen that. That's fine. Now, do you really want a no deal Brexit? Do you want us to hold on to the $39 billion, or are you prepared to talk Turkey at the last hour? Let's get on with it and let's get it done. They did say they didn't want to reopen. Now we're at the 11th hour. Let's see what can be reopened and let's see what can be done.
But is it not more likely to be an extension? Is it not more likely to be put on the long finger and very possibly no Brexit at all?
Well, putting it on the long finger won't solve the problem, because in 3 months or 6 months' time, we'll be faced with the same problem. So, you know, if that's a potential solution to a problem, it's no solution, because the problem will still be there. You know, it's inconceivable that any British government would want to overturn the wishes of the people in the EU vote. It's not inconceivable that Parliament wants to do that. In fact, in my view, having seen this past 6 or 8 months, Parliament is doing everything it possibly can to overthrow the wishes of the people. But the people will have the final say, because eventually there will be an election and eventually there will be a Tory leader who will have to say, well, I'm going to deliver the wishes of the people of the UK. And I've said this to you before, Frank, in the midst of all of those changes that are coming on, there are going to be changes within the EU itself. And we saw them just the day before yesterday. Even within regional elections in the Netherlands, the far-right surge is continuing. So these people are isolated and they're centralist, they're control freaks, they're the Brussels elite. They're going to have to waken up at some point. They're going to either have to waken up in their dealings with the UK, or if they don't do that and they push the can further down the road, they're going to have to waken up because European elections take place at the end of May. But eventually, the piper will call the tune.
Yes, but the piper might call the tune at the next election and you don't have a Conservative leader, you could have a Labour leader.
Yep, that's right. That is eminently possible. And whatever it is, we will have to deal with it. But what all the indications are in terms of voting intentions is that there will be no clear-cut winner. You know, if you look at all the polls, none of them show a very clear, outright win for either Labour or Conservatives. And who knows what those two parties will look like at any general election. So we can't forecast anything with any degree of certainty. The only thing we can say with a reasonable degree of assurance is that there will be no clear-cut winners. If there are no clear-cut winners, who's in play?
Do you expect...
Somebody in Northern Ireland with a block of votes is in play with whoever comes through in the GB election.
And you still feel that you can be a kingmaker in this as opposed to being marginalised or blamed for the debacle?
Well, people have to look at, you know, since the last general election, what has happened. We've managed to get that significant extra money that everybody benefits from. It wasn't a partisan or a sectarian carve-up, but, you know, whether it's health service, education, broadband, all those issues, you know, we got extra money for those issues that everybody benefits from. If we hadn't got that, we would have been much worse off. So, you know, if everybody works on that basis, but let's try and deliver whoever's in power, who holds the kingmaker role. If everybody says, well, look, whatever we can squeeze out of whoever is looking for our support, let's do it on behalf of everybody here. If we work on that premise and that basis, I would have thought that those who can carp and criticise at us are going to have a much more difficult job.
If you got more money and more gestures, could you buy the backstop?
No.
In no form?
Well, the backstop and all that flows from it distinguishes and differentiates negatively Northern Ireland from the rest of its main market, which is in GB. So, and I've said this before and people have misunderstood or misconstrued, whatever it is they need to do with the backstop, whether it is obliterate it, change it, time-bound it, counter it, whatever they have to do, the end result has to be that we are not disadvantaged to our main market, that there's not additional regulatory requirements for Northern Ireland business as it does business with GB. And in my view, if we do it right and get it right, we can have the best of both worlds that some people talk about. But it would be the best of both worlds being outside the EU and having no regulatory distinction with the rest of the UK, but still having our good, close relationship with the Irish Republic so that we have access into the EU as well as being outside of it. So you can get take advantage of the trade deals that hopefully are going to be negotiated with the rest of the world, as well as having your input into the EU and your business relationship there. I think that would be the best of both worlds if we can get it.
Many would argue against it. Alex Kane and Jamie DeLargy earlier on this programme this morning both called it that they'll see it as the extension, the almost never-ending extension, and as a result of that there will be Ulster MEPs, Northern Irish MEPs, standing to be voted in this summer. Do you expect the DUP to have MEP representation during this summer and going forward from this summer?
Well, I think that the Conservative Party, Theresa May, and all those who are operating under her control in Downing Street are doing everything they can to avoid that, because they know if there is a European election held in the UK, and I'm not going to name the people, but there are people on the fringes of politics, people who would be regarded as right-wing, as far-right, as populist, describe them in whatever way you want, that they would take maximum advantage. And the Tories, and to some degree Labour, could well face not just a downturn, but being decimated at that European parliamentary poll. So they are bending might and main to avoid that coming about. I don't know whether it will be possible, but they are trying whatever they can to avoid that. And that's why Theresa May went for the short-term extension, to avoid that.
And finally, how much are you being lobbied at this present minute, literally at this minute, by the Prime Minister?
Well, the discussions are continuing, and hopefully they will continue, but she knows what it is we need to get, and she knows she didn't in the past seem to grasp how important it was to get it. It may be in the past 24 hours that realization is creeping in to Vaughan and to Paris and to elsewhere, but it needs to percolate through Downing Street first and then get to the EU, and then those discussions can actually start to bear fruit.
Okay, Gregory Campbell, thank you very much. Your analysis is always welcome on this programme with regards to whoever you hear. You know the number, it's 028 90 33 105. We'll be cheek by jowl with this, of course, during the course of next week.